John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 19 to 30 is the passage for today. And I want to begin by overlapping a little with what I said last time at the end of the last message on John 5. All over the world, people have demanded equal rights, human rights. The problem is, all may be equal, but as the saying goes, some may be more equal than others. A problem is that we live in a world where each person is fighting for their own equal rights and equality, and we'll never be satisfied because each of us will imagine that someone is above us. Is it wrong to insist on all being equal? The problem is, it tends to mean that each of us wants to be our own boss. Each of us independent of everyone else, standing on our own feet, doing our own thing. I hear politicians on the television telling us, we live in a free society, and indeed, compared with many countries in the world, we do, and for that we must be grateful. But that doesn't mean that each of us simply makes our own decision about what is right and wrong and what is good and evil. But that, I'm afraid, is the way we are being taught in this country to think. That each of us must decide what is good and bad, what is right and wrong. In other words, there's no need for God to tell us. You remember the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. What fruit was it they were forbidden to eat, which they did eat? It was the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What does that mean? It means that Adam and Eve wanted to make their own decision about what was good and what was evil, what was right and what was wrong. They wanted to be independent from God so that there would be no need for God to tell us, human beings, what is right and wrong. We could be independent of Him and of one another, making our own individual decisions about what is good and what is evil. That was the sin of the Garden of Eden, of Adam and Eve, and it's the sin of the world today. We want to do our own thing, to be independent from God and one another. We want to be our own God. In the Garden of Eden story, the serpent says to Adam, to Eve, if you eat of this fruit, you will be like God. You will be like God. We are not independent equals. We are bound together in a deep, interdependent unity. We are not independent of one another so that we can each make our own decisions. We are all different. We are not the same. But we all need one another. We have different functions and gifts. But we all have a duty to love one another and to honor one another and to count each person we meet as better than ourselves, to honor others, whoever they may be, greater than ourselves. Much more fundamental than equality is the duty to love one another and honor one another. And if the world did that, we wouldn't need people calling for equality. And we must honor one another and love one another, whether they be clever or not clever, male or female, rich or poor, or from whatever nation they come, whatever color is their skin. It's not our own status of equality we should be fighting for, but we should be loving one another and honoring one another. Today we've ordained 5 new elders. Do they become elders because they want status in the church, because they want to be equal with other elders? I'm sure that is not the case. I am a minister. Am I a minister because I want to be equal with other ministers, to have that status? I can assure you that is not my reason for being a minister. It's nice to be greeted in the marketplaces, as the scripture says, but that mustn't be my motive for being a minister. Am I a minister because I want to pompously demonstrate my status to the world? I hope not. In fact, I cannot stand pomposity in the church, quite frankly. When people become elders, it does not mean that they are superior or inferior or equal to anybody else. That is a wrong way of thinking. We don't say now perhaps they're above us or below us to serve us or just equal with us. That we don't even think in those terms. There are many people in this church who are better Christians than all of us on the Kirk Session, and I include myself because I'm a member of the session. There are many people in this church who are better than us, maybe more spiritual, more dedicated. We're not ordained to be superior or to be equal or to be lower, but we're ordained for a purpose of service. And there are many forms of service in a church. And each form of service needs the other and must honor the other and love the other. We don't say we're all equal. What we do say is we all need one another. When Jesus called God his Father, the Jews said he's making himself equal with God. He's demanding equality with God. How did Jesus answer them? Verse 19 to 23 of John 5, Jesus gave them this answer: I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. You see how Jesus answers by saying the Son, that's himself, needs the Father, and the Father needs the Son, and the Father honors the Son, and the Son honors the Father. That's the point. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Jesus says that I am completely dependent upon the Father, and the Father has given to me to share fully in his life. The Father needs the Son, and the Son needs the Father. We use an expression when we're talking about fellow human beings. We say of a boy that he's a chip off the old block, meaning the Son is rather like his Father, not only in looks, but in personality. He's made of the same stuff. Yet he is a different person. Now, I wouldn't use that expression, chip off the old block, to refer to anything to do with God. That would not be reverent. But you know what it means when we refer to human beings. But Jesus is of one being with the Father, the divine being. Yet he is different. He is the Son. He is not the Father. He only does what he sees the Father doing. And the Father loves and honors his Son. The son loves and honors his father. And we too are all dependent upon one another. We are all of the same being. Our one being is called human being. We're dependent upon one another. But we're still all different. Each one of us is unique. It's our duty to honor and love one another. We're all dependent upon God. We honor and love Him together. That's why we have Sunday worship. That's why we must come to Sunday worship unless we are ill. Not only do we honor and love God, but He honors and loves us. Not only do we need God, but He needs us. That's why He created us. He was humble enough to need us. By calling us His children, He's honoring us by giving us the title of children of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. What an honor He has given us. Now, what is sin? Sin is breaking that bond of honor and love. Saying, I'm my own boss. I'll do my own thing. I'll decide what's right and wrong. I'm an independent human being. Independent from God and independent from others. And that leads to a breakup of humanity. It leads to divisions, to hatreds, to war, to violence. So God's condemnation is upon the earth for this. If you break up a tree into its branches, each separate branch will gradually die. We are broken off from the source of our life. That's why we're all dying as human beings. We're like branches cut off from the tree. We've wanted to be independent. We must be rejoined to the source of life. How can that be true? The Son came forth from the Father and joined Himself to us. The Son of God became Son of Man. He joined Himself to us at our death and died for us. He joined us even in our separation and said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? But in the resurrection He rose and returned to His Father. Rising from the dead, He returned to His Father, so that now the Father and the Son together give us life. So verse 21 we read, for just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom He is pleased to give it. And something else the Father and the Son share in verse 22. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Is God going to judge the world, do you think? Or is He simply going to let us all just go to heaven? Supposing that were true, that we were just all going to go to heaven, so that Hitler would be there and the SS soldiers at Auschwitz would be there in heaven with us, the child murderers would be in heaven, all going to heaven. If that was the case, heaven would be just as bad as earth, and misery would continue forever. And also there would be no justice. It would also mean that our life on earth and what we did simply didn't matter, because it's only a few years before heaven. No, there has to be, I'm sure you must agree with me, there has to be a judgment and separation. But what about us? What about me? Am I good enough for heaven? I haven't been a Hitler, but I have done wrong. All of us can say that. I have hurt others. Verse 21, we read, for just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life, that means eternal life in heaven, to whom He is pleased to give it. To whom is the Son pleased to give life? Verse 24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears My word and believes Him who sent Me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Whoever hears my word, when you hear the word of Jesus as you are hearing it now, as I am hearing it now, and you find yourself saying, yes, I believe in God, then you have been joined again to life, to God and to His Son. Your new life has already begun, and you will not be condemned. And that new life will be brought to completion on the last day, when Christ comes again in glory to all the earth. But even now He's here in our midst through His word. On the last day the trumpet will sound, and the voice of the Lord will be heard in all the earth. But even now you hear Him, you hear His voice in your heart, and you say, yes, Lord, I believe. Verse 25, I tell you the truth, a time is coming. That's at the end of the age. But now already is here, that's here right now, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they will live. That new life begins in you and me now, but will be brought to completion when we see the Lord. And lastly, verse 27. And He, the Father, has given Him, that's the Son, authority to judge because He is the Son of Man. Jesus has authority to judge because He is one of us. He's one with the Father, but He's also one with us. He came to be among us. In all ways like us, He was tempted and tested. He sympathizes with our weakness and frailty. Therefore, His judgment is fair and His judgment is merciful. He knows our frame. He knows how we are formed. He knows our weakness. He is merciful in His judgment. And that's what Psalm 103 says. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our Father, we acknowledge before Thee our unworthiness. We hear Your word, and we believe in You, Lord. We thank You for Your great mercy in bringing us from death to life, in saving us from condemnation, and giving us everlasting forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.